Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for the word, and we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you move in just ways that are beyond our understanding many, many times. And Lord, as Pastor John brings forth this word today on compassion, I pray that our hearts, we're ready to accept that word and we're ready to move. And Lord, how many of us came to know you because somebody showed us compassion? Mm-hmm. Somebody spoke to us, somebody helped us, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Now, Lord, we lift our brother up and we pray that you'd move upon him. And, Lord, that these words would resonate deep within our heart and bring us to action. And, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, over the last few months, we've been talking about getting to know God. That's been our theme so far. And we don't just want to know God. We actually want to go beyond just knowing who he is. We want to get to really know him, get to know all about him, get to know him, become close to him, and really get close, know him, truly know him. And to know God, what if we really do know him, what it will happen is it will cause us to be a vehicle of blessing on this earth. We'll end up being God's blessing to other people. And God would like nothing more than for all of us to be overflowing with every good thing, every good gift that he pours out. He wants that for us so that we can go out there then and share that, share those gifts, share that goodness with other people. Now we have seen, especially over the last few years, unfortunately, exactly the opposite happening all over the world. And it seems to be increasing. These terrible acts, terrorist acts have been done oftentimes in the name of God. This is not the God that we know or love or serve. Our God does not terrorize, mutilate, and even murder innocent people because they believe in Jesus. That's not what God does. In fact, not even believe in Jesus or anything else for that matter. That's not what our God would do. Our God is not motivated by hatred. Or, you know, he's not ruled by hatred or anger or fear. And he doesn't rule us in that manner either. And he doesn't expect us to relate to people in that way. In fact, our God is a loving God who loves us extravagantly and wants us to love one another. 1 John 3:11 says, "This is the message you've heard from the start, that we should love one another." God expects this love for one another, number one, to come from the heart, and number two, to then leave our heart and move out, respond in action. If we truly love one another, our heart will go out to people. And we'll have compassion. God wants to work through a people who are compassionate. He really does. We're told in Ephesians 4:32 to be kind and compassionate to one another. Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion." What is compassion? Compassion is it's a godly virtue. It truly is, as we're going to see. And it causes us to feel and take seriously the reality of another person's situation. What's going on in their life? Their inner lives, their emotions, their circumstances, their needs, their hurts, their pains. When we have a compassionate heart, it causes us to have an emotional response to that person's need or difficulty. True compassion doesn't just stop there, though, with a feeling. True compassion will continue on and go forward with a response. It will cause us then to step out and relieve that person's distress as best as we are able. We want to help. What can I do? What can I do? I want to do something. That's compassion. What happens is we suffer with them. And we have, because of that suffering with them, we have a desire to remove that distress as if it was our own. And in fact, in many ways, it does become our own because we feel that compassion. True compassion should always lead to action. Compassion that is felt but not acted upon, when we just feel it and then we just let it go, it causes our hearts to become calloused, to become cold, to become hard, and it puts distance between us and God and us and other people. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own selfish concerns, our own little cocoon world, that we lose out helping other people where we could have been a true blessing. Where we could have even been blessed ourselves. And in the process, found ourselves getting even closer to God and knowing Him in a greater way. In Matthew 35, Jesus explains what God is expecting of His people. Verse 31, it starts, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The King will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brethren of mine, you did for me.' Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't look after me.' They will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? When did we do this?' And He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." God will draw us closer to Him when we reach out with a heart of compassion to those in distress. He's telling us there in those scriptures that as we do this to one another, or don't do this to one another, it's the same as if we did it to Him. All of these situations, every one of those, every time we have that opportunity, that situation, it opens up a door for us to share God's love as well as the truth of His gospel. Sometimes the world will also try to fulfill those same physical needs. There's all kinds of institutions out there, oftentimes by do-gooders that are trying to soothe their conscience. But unfortunately, most of them, usually, they neglect the most important part, the spiritual side. Remember, our number one priority is always to seek first the kingdom. And the kingdom is ruled by love and compassion. If we want to get closer and get to know God, get to know Him a lot more, we have to get closer to His people. There is simply no way around it. If we want to know God, we got to get to know people. 1 John 4:20 and 21. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he gives us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Jesus said that all the laws and all the commandments of the God could be wrapped up or summed up in love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And we try to justify our lack of love and our lack of involvement in other people's lives with all kinds of excuses, all kinds of what we call reasons, but often they're just excuses. God is looking for servants who do love one another and whose heart is motivated by a godly, Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led compassion. What better example could we have for compassion than Jesus Himself? Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus, our high priest, is able to sympathize with all of our weaknesses because He experienced the same temptations that we do. We think nobody understands what we're going through. Nobody can help us where we're at because nobody's ever gone through what I'm going through. We get these kind of feelings. They just don't understand. Nobody understands me. Nobody, this is terrible. I can't handle this. But Jesus wants us to know He understands every heartbeat of ours rings loud and clear to Him. He knows everything that's going on in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Everything. He knows everything about us. And He wants to be there for us. He wants to be there by our side. He wants to help us walk through those situations because of His love and His compassion for us. Matthew 9:36 tells us, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed, He had been in a boat, when He landed on the shore and He saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. In Mark 1:40 and 41, a leper came to Jesus and he was begging Him on his knees, "Please, Jesus, heal me. Please heal me. If You are willing, You can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing," He said, "be clean." I am willing. Filled with compassion. Matthew 20:30 tells us about two blind men who were sitting by the roadside and they kept yelling, "Son of David! Son of David, have mercy on us! Son of David!" They kept on yelling it out. And when Jesus heard that, it says in verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed Him. In Luke 7:12, Jesus passed by a funeral procession. Somebody apparently didn't even know. He just was walking into town and there's a funeral procession going by. And there was a widow weeping who had lost her only son. And 7:13 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, "Don't cry." He brought the young man back to life because he felt for that mother. He didn't have to do that. In John 11:33, we know the story about when Lazarus died and Jesus saw Mary weeping. It says that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. It really bothered him when somebody he knew Mary. And when he saw her weeping, he knew where Lazarus was going to be. He wasn't worried about Lazarus, but he was worried, he was concerned, he was troubled. He was moved in his spirit and troubled. It bothered him. He couldn't let it go. And in verse 35, we find the shortest verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus wept. He cried. Jesus cried because his friend was sad. And even though it's the shortest verse, it speaks volumes. Because it tells us that God hurts when we hurt. God hurts when we hurt. He doesn't like to see us get in trouble. He doesn't like to see us mess up and do foolish things that cause us pain and hurt and sorrow and cause other people's pain and hurt. It bothers him. He's deeply troubled. And yet he has compassion on us. Jesus read the hearts of those people, all those people. And there was more. There was so many things, all the good things that he did. It said that there wouldn't have been enough books to write them down. I guarantee you, he had compassion on so many people. Everywhere he went, he was helping people. That's what he did. Because he had a compassionate heart. And you know what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's reading your heart right now. He knows what's troubling you. He knows what's bothering you. He knows when you're hurting and, you know, where you're hurting, why you're hurting. He knows it all. According to 2 Corinthians 1:3, God is called the Father of compassion. The Father of compassion. In other words, he's the one who birthed compassion. It's his legacy. It's founded in him. Compassion is who God is. It's just he's a compassionate God. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles if we go to him. Psalm 116, verse 5. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. God is so full of compassion for us that he sent his one and only Son to die for us, so we could be saved. That's because of his compassion. Because he hurt for us. Revelations 21:3 tells us what his plans are for us when we get to heaven. It says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Well, what's he going to do then when we get there? You know what he's going to do? This is our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain because our God is going to wrap his arms around us and tell us how much he loves us. I think of that father in the story of the prodigal son. When that son got home, that father was so overjoyed, all he could do was hug him, hold him, restore him to the family. That's what God is going to do for us. God wants us to know that His compassion is eternal. It always was, it always will be, and it is now. Now. And the way He can best show His compassion now is through you. It's you. When the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles, He does comfort us. I mean, He comforts us as we pray, as we allow Him to get close. He will comfort us, but now He wants us to take this compassion and share it and spread it, because there's a lot of people that don't know Him. And there's people who may be in a situation where they just, even though maybe they know God, they're not turning to Him to receive that help. So now He expects us to take what He's given to us, that comfort, that compassion, and He wants us to share it with other people. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says, "The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that," why? "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts us so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. We love, it says in the Bible, because He first loved us. Isn't that true? And we also, out of the abundance, of God's compassion for us, now can show compassion. We give out of our abundance that God has given to us. Whatever we receive from the Father, God wants us to share that. He gives us more than enough. He doesn't give us just enough of anything. He gives us more than enough so that we can share. He doesn't give us just enough love that it's only enough for us and none for nobody else. He gives us all this love so that we can pass it on. He gives us all this compassion so we can pass it on. He shares His peace so we can pass it on. He shares His joy so we can pass it on. Our Father is the Father of compassion, a God who is full of compassion. And our goal is to be like Him. Colossians 3:12 tells us, "Clothe yourself with compassion." Wrap it around you. Think about that, Clothe yourself with compassion. In other words, when people see you, they should say, "There it goes. He's a compassionate man. She's a compassionate woman. I know they care. There's one thing I know about them. They care." And then they say, but then they begin to wonder, why? Why do they care so much? What makes them so caring? You see what's happening? God is beginning to stir something in them. Why are those people like that? Why? How is it? How can they care about other people? Why don't they just care about themselves like I always did? Why don't they look out for number one like everyone else does, like everything tells us to? For some reason, that person, they're a Christian. They know Jesus. They know God. So I want to look at one last area of compassion that can truly be life-changing. And that is that when we sense the heart of God for someone through the Holy Spirit, when we open up our hearts to comfort that person, when we open up our heart to bless them, to try to relieve that distress, to be the blessing to them, what happens then is we give God the opportunity to work a miracle in us and through us as we pray for them. Remember what happened when Jesus prayed for people? Every time Jesus was moved by compassion and he was led by God, something happened. A miracle happened. Maybe not every time, but all those ones I read, so many times, people were healed. People were delivered. People were raised from the dead. Eyes were opened. Ears were opened. The lame were walking. The multitudes were fed. All these things happened because Jesus had compassion. And when his heart opened up towards those people, the Father spoke to him and told him what to do. And Jesus responded, he prayed, and a miracle happened. Jesus felt the Father's heart for that person. He heard the Father's will because his heart was open. That's a miracle. To feel the Father's heart, that's a miracle, to feel what God is feeling for someone. That's amazing, to feel what somebody else is feeling for another person. And yet God will allow you to feel that. Jesus heard it. He felt it. He heard it. He spoke it. And it happened. Now, I want to tell you, that's not a formula. By no means am I giving you a formula, because God, if you know God, is not a God of formulas. And there's a reason why he doesn't work like that with a formula, because he knows if something is a formula, then pretty soon we leave out God and just follow the formula. So he sets it up so that we always have to go back to him, because it never works the same. God's smart. He's smart. We're not so smart, but God's smart. We think we are. Somehow, though, every time Jesus had compassion, or at least all those ones I read, something happened. So it may not be a formula, but that compassion plays a real important part somehow in God moving in our life and in other people's lives. Don't ask me how it's going to happen, what we're going to say, what we're going to feel, what we're going to do. That's not up to me. All I'm saying is, if you get hold of God's heart, if you know him, you get close to him, he's going to reveal himself to you. And you're going to walk by someone, and sometimes you may not even know them, and you're going to feel their pain, just like Jesus felt that widow's pain. And God will speak it to you, and he'll stop you in your tracks. And we got to be careful that we don't just say, oh, maybe next time. Because every time we turn that feeling off, we just like flip the switch and turn it off, it's like another layer goes over our heart of callous. And it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. Every time we reject the Holy Spirit asking us to move in someone's life, to move with compassion, to help relieve that distress, every time we reject that, our heart gets more calloused, more cold, harder. And if you remember the story about the Israelites, it was because of their hardness of their hearts and their unbelief then that they never entered the promised land. When we get to that point, though, where we feel God's heart for someone. Why? That's a miracle. Sometimes I get a glimpse of that myself, about how someone or how God feels for someone. And every time it happens, I'm humbled and I'm broken. And oftentimes, I'm moved to tears. Can you believe that? I'm surprised I'm not crying right now, to tell you the truth. Because it's true. When I, you know, God will just give me like some insight into someone's life, and all of a sudden I can't stop it. I just get choked up. I just feel God's pain for that person. I feel that person's pain. And He gives us the opportunity to help relieve that pain by bringing God into the picture. And many times I've seen an answer to prayer in a situation like that. And here's the great part. When in those times, when people's lives are broken, when it seems like they're just falling apart, what happens then is they are ready now to receive this compassion. And it becomes an opportunity for heaven to move, for God to move. Every one of us have different crossroads in our lives where an important decision can be made and the course of our life will change. Where our history will change. And we can look back and see where we were going this way and all of a sudden, it veers off. And it's at these points where that brokenness happens, where somebody, they're at their one of their weakest points maybe, one of their most vulnerable points in their life. Humbled, broken, not knowing what to do. When their heart is open to receive direction, compassion from someone. And it's at this point where God can work His miracle. This is a golden opportunity sent by God. Sometimes we call it a divine appointment. And it's this opportunity for one of God's servants now, us, one of us, to be able to have this input into a person's life and point them in God's direction. To speak the truth into their life and implant that seed, that precious seed, that precious truth that hopefully at that point in their life will cause them to now change course and begin to follow after God, follow hard after God. Our compassion can end up being our greatest evangelistic tool or ability, because it calls us to come and to step into someone's life in their moment of need. It's not just a formula. We're not just passing out a tract. We're not just mouthing empty words. We're walking into a need with the fulfiller of needs by our side. And as they sense, as that person senses our love and our concern and our compassion for them, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, then we can then lead them into the truth. Compassion can then end up being that turning point for the good in someone's life, all because you cared. You cared enough to take a step, to step out of our comfortable life, our comfort zone, and maybe a little nervously, maybe a little fearfully, maybe a little not the best time for us, but for some reason, somehow we were able to break through our flesh and say, their need is greater than my comfort. And that's what it comes down to a lot of times. their disaster, their need is greater than my ease or my comfort. So I'll step out of my comfort zone and into their need and help them. Now, there are times we've got to watch out. We can't be enablers to somebody who is just using us. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about true opportunities, not just over and over and over and over and over kind of a thing. There's this, people will not care what you know until they know that you care. We need to have compassion for people's physical needs, but even more importantly, for their spiritual needs. When Jesus saw the crowds following them, he met their physical needs. But what he really saw when he looked was a people who were broken, who were weary, who were lost in darkness, who were hopeless without a shepherd to lead them. A worn out people trying to make the best of a bad situation. How did that make Jesus feel? He heard for them. He wept. He had compassion. And all around us right now, all around us, are the same people, the same broken, weary, desperate people. Without a shepherd to lead them. A people who are imprisoned by their sin, blind to the truth, blind to God's message, deaf to his message, limping along through life, trying to make the best of all that they think there is. So the question is, how do we view these people? Do we think about them with compassion? Or do we even think about them at all? Do we think about them with compassion? Or do we think about them at all? God never stops thinking about them. He never does. Remember, we weren't saved just so we could go to heaven ourselves. Our job is to share the good news, like Donovan was talking about. To dig it, to mine it, and then to pass it on. To pass it down. To be witnesses to all the world. To make disciples of all nations. And showing the compassion of God is a great way to do that. How many times have we played a part in the story of the Good Samaritan? If you remember in the parable, it was the priest and the Levite who crossed over to the other side of the road. They didn't want to deal with the injured man. They had all their reasons. They had all their excuses. They didn't want to help the wounded traveler. But it was the Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew, and yet he helped the Jew. He was supposed to be one of the bad ones. The good ones, the priest and the Levite, ignored the one who needed compassion. But the Good Samaritan helped him. It was the Good Samaritan who stopped and he showed compassion for the injured man. And he was the one who was commended by God. And even to this day, we have laws called Good Samaritan laws. Helping people. Have we made excuses when God gives us an opportunity to show his love and compassion for someone? Do we cross to the other side of the road? Or do we help that person in need? God wants to bless you. I'm telling you this now. God wants to bless you by giving you that opportunity to show compassion. You might think of it as a burden. And again, now we need to be led by God, not by our heart, not by the politically correct love, by our heart, by God. We need to be led by the right way. by the Spirit. But when we are, that's when God is giving you an opportunity to be blessed. Even as you bless, you will be blessed. As you give, it will be given to you, filled up, poured out, running over. Jesus, remember, had no problem talking, eating, helping, praying with tax collectors, blind, demon-possessed, prostitutes, beggars, thieves, cripples, homeless, rich or poor. He didn't have any problem helping any of them. He did it as he was led by the Spirit. Now, Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore to show that compassion to people. But you know what? He is here in us. He is here in us. And now we, as we are led by His Spirit, we become His hands, His mouth, and His feet. Our compassionate Father cares what happens to each and every one of us. Now He wants us to care about what happens to our brothers, our sisters, to those around us. He wants us to care about the ones He sends our way. And He will. I guarantee you, if you got your eyes open, if you got your ears open, God is going to send people. And these, you never know who it is. It might be somebody you know. It might be someone in your family. It might be close family. It might be distant family. It might be at work. It might be at school. It might be a neighbor. It might be someone you don't even know. And He's going to speak to you. And you're going to feel your heart going out. And you want to make sure it's God. And then He wants you to respond with compassion. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's physical help. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's a hug. I don't know what it is. I could never tell you what it's going to be. God has to tell you what to do. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I want to read this one last scripture that I read earlier. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." So, in other words, for this reason, that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Remember, it's not just the do-gooder comfort. There's so many organizations out there that just take on the do-gooder comfort. Sometimes churches take on the do-gooder, and they don't even share Christ. That's just the opening to get us in to share Christ. But that opening has to be real. Our love and our concern, our compassion needs to be real. When people see that reality, when they see that realness, then that will open the door for salvation. You'll be amazed at what God can do. It may not happen right that day. Doesn't mean you're going to pray for them right then and they're going to receive Christ. Don't expect that to happen all the time, but it might right then. But it just opens that door where now they trust you. Now they believe in you. Now they see you. Instead of before, they didn't even see you as a person. You were just one of those Christians. Now you're somebody that they trust. Somebody that they love and that knows that you love them. You'll never have a greater opportunity than when you show that compassion to someone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your compassion towards us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that we, as your people, would have a compassionate heart for those around us, for those you put in our lives, Lord God, and that we, our eyes, our ears would be open to hear you, to see what you want us to do in any given situation, that we can share your compassionate love and your truth, your gospel, with those who are in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.